apparently it is time to begin. Many and varied are the activities that fill everyday life here at Emmanuel. Which of those activities come to mind at the sound of the following verbs? Calculate. Perhaps that makes you think of a math class and its various dealings with numbers. Invigorate. Maybe that causes you to think of a PE course or a sports practice that gets the adrenaline pumping. Nourish. Maybe that brings to mind a dining hall where a variety of meals are served and consumed. How about the verb rehearse? It's likely that the word rehearse brings this very building to mind as it doubles as the place where our choir learns new music. Choir sessions, of course, are often referred to as rehearsals. And what is it that typically takes place in the course of a rehearsal? Well, the answer is found built right into the word, into the verb. For when people come together to rehearse, they rehear the notes over and over again in order to get them cemented in one's memory. The word rehearse could, however, be applied just as properly to another activity here at campus, namely that which we are doing right here and now. Our chapel services are also rehearsals of sorts. For what happens when we assemble here? We rehear. We rehearse. We hear again and again the most wonderful thing that can be heard, the name of Jesus and the work he accomplished. The very activity that Christians have been involved in for centuries. In the fifth chapter of Acts, we're told, they, that is the apostles, departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. The faithful preachers in the book of Acts rehearsed, they repeated the message that Jesus is the Savior of the world. The faithful listeners at the time of Acts listened again and again. They reheard that Jesus is the same, is the Savior of the world. And so it is in every truly Christian church assembly or chapel gathering. There is a steady repetition of what the Bible identifies as the one thing needful. Does that mean that every time the apostles spoke, they said exactly the same thing? No. Neither do the speakers that we'll be hearing this year in the course of the school year, neither will they be saying exactly the same words or following the same sentence structures. One day we'll hear about how it is God's power that brought the world into being. Another day we will hear how Jesus is the Word of God. Another day we'll hear about the power of prayer as we did yesterday. While at another time we'll be directed to the forgiveness that we receive in the Lord's Supper. But all such Bible teachings involve the person and work of Jesus. Such doctrines are like the spokes on a wheel, emanating out of the hub, which is Jesus. Jesus is the thread that runs through and connects all the teachings of the Bible. Without him, it all falls apart. And so we hear and rehear about Jesus. Speaker and assembly alike rehearse his person and his work time and time again. While it is possible for a chapel speaker to go through the address and not actually make use of the very name Jesus, on those rare occasions, his presence is still assumed and certainly understood. Jesus is linked to every biblical teaching. It was through him that God did bring the worlds into being. He is identified as the very Word of God. It is only through him that our prayers can come before the throne of heaven. It is because of the redemption that he won that we do receive forgiveness in connection with the Lord's Supper, and on it goes. Speaking of the gospel of Christ, Paul declared, "It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." All the philosophy of the ancients can't save a single soul. All the lofty thoughts of modern thinkers can't sustain our faith. That can be accomplished only through the message of Christ's cross, regardless of how foolish it strikes the world. And it does. Paul says, the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Or simply put in Romans, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But why the ongoing repetition? Isn't once enough? Isn't it enough to save a soul to hear the name of Jesus once and to hear once of his redemptive work? Yes, the thief on the cross appears to have had heard little more, but the challenges to our faith occur daily. The assaults of the devil occur daily. The mocking of the world is continuous. The attacks of our own flesh are ongoing. And these adversaries are determined to undermine our faith, which means that our faith is left perilously endangered if it doesn't have frequent fortification. Christian faith needs to be bolstered. And that which alone is able to sustain our faith is that message of Christ, heard with greatest benefit on a daily basis. In the Old Testament times, God's word to his people was, proclaim his salvation from day to day. And the Apostle Paul directed Pastor Timothy not to let up, even when times got difficult, to keep proclaiming. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. The Lord wants us to hear his gospel not just one time, but to rehear it, to rehearse it, as happens here in chapel. The following portions of the devotion that was found in Wednesday's daily bulletin underscore this principle. Our Savior gently reminds us that his word is the one thing needful. You know how his word draws us to him, for you have heard it and known what it does for you. You know how it lifts your spirits, raises you from the depths, and seats you in the heavenly places. To hear over and over again things like, your sins are forgiven. I will see you through your troubles. I will give you peace. The Lord blesses us with lots of things to do in this life, but no matter what you do or where life takes you, remember this, in the end, only one thing is really needed, to hear the word of Jesus. Keep the things around you in perspective by sitting at the Lord's feet when he calls to you, and rest well in the understanding that even if everything were taken away, you would still have all you really needed, for you would still have Jesus' precious word. So when on a Monday you hear that your sins have been forgiven by Jesus, when on a Tuesday you hear that he has atoned for your iniquity, when on a Wednesday you hear that you've been redeemed by him from your condemnation, it's not a matter of a lack of originality. It's a matter of recognizing the reality that our faith is very fragile and needs to hear and rehear the name of Jesus and his saving work on our behalf. It is through the message of Christ that we are able to calculate just how great God's love is for us. Through that message, that spirits are invigorated, that souls are nourished. Yes, an awful lot takes place in a chapel that is true to God's word. Rather, a good lot takes place in a chapel that is true to God's word. As we hear, rehear, rehearse the wonderful things that God has done for us in Christ. We conclude with hymn 16, stanzas 2 and 4. 16, stanzas 2 and 4.